Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 2, Prayers by the Demigods, Text Number 40. Matyasva Katapa Nrsingha Vraha Hangsa. Rajanya Vipra Buddhadeshu Kritavartaraha. Tampashinastri. Bhuvanam Chayata Dunesha. Parambhuva Hara Yudutama Vandanam Te. Matsya, the fish incarnation. Ashva, the horse incarnation. Kvat Chapa, the tortoise incarnation. Nrsingha, the Narasingha incarnation. Varaha, the Varaha incarnation. Hangsa, the swan incarnation. Rajanya, incarnations as Lord Ramachandra and other Kshatriyas. Vipra, incarnations as Brahmanas like Vamanadeva. Vibhudeshu, among the demigods. Krita Avatara, appeared as incarnations. Tvam, your Lordship, Pasi, please save, Nasnaha, us, Sri Bhuvanamja, and the three worlds, Yata, as well as, Aduna, now, Isha, O Supreme Lord, Baram, burden, Bhuvanaha, of the earth, Hara, please diminish, Yadu Uttama, O Lord Krishna, best of the Yadus, Vandanam Te, we offer prayers unto you. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Supreme Controller, your Lordship previously accepted incarnations as a fish, a horse, a tortoise, Narasingha Deva, a boar, a swan, Lord Ramachandra, Parashuram, and among the demigods, Vamanadeva, to protect the entire world by your mercy. Now please protect us again by your mercy, by diminishing the disturbances in this world. O Krishna, best among the Yadus, respectfully offer obeisances unto you. Purport. In every incarnation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has a particular mission to execute. And this was true in his appearance as the son of Devaki and the family of the Yadus. Thus, all the demigods offered their prayers to the Lord, bowing down before Him, and requested the Lord to do the needful. We cannot order the Supreme Personality of Godhead to do anything for us. We can simply offer our obeisances as advised in the Bhagavad Gita, Manmana Bhava Madhvakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru, and pray to Him for the annihilation of dangers. Next text. O Mother Devaki, by your good fortune and ours, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Himself, with all His plenary portions, such as Baladev, is now within your womb. Therefore you need not fear a Kamsa, who has decided to be killed by the Lord. Your eternal son, Krishna, will be the protector of the entire Yadu dynasty. Purport. The words Para, Puman, Angsena signify that Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the verdict of the Shastras, Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. Thus the demigods assure Devaki, your son is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is appearing with Baladev, his plenary portion. He will give you all protection, and kill Kamsa, who has decided to continue his enmity toward the Lord, and thus be killed by him. We're in the midst of a great plan of Krishna. Krishna has a big plan, and we have fortune enough to take part in that plan. It is said, Krite tadayato Vishnu, Tretayam yajato mukai, Dwarpayam paracharya kalotadari kirtanam. That in the age of Krita Yuga or Satya Yuga, people were in the mode of goodness. So they could meditate directly on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, ultimately his pastimes, which include his name, his forms, his qualities, his associates, and they were always in ecstasy. And as the ages progressed and people became infused partly with the mode of passion, and then Treta Yuga began where sacrifice. Just like there are four classes of people, intelligent, lazy. So in Satya Yuga, people were intelligent, but didn't have to perform any activities. Because they knew just by meditating on Krishna, everything else would come. All the rains came on time, and therefore they didn't have to endeavor very much to grow anything, because with the proper rain, the proper wind, the proper climate, the vegetables, the fruits, the flowers, everything would grow practically automatically. But in Treta Yuga, when people became more passionate, then they neglected to meditate upon Krishna, and they become interested in sense gratification. Therefore, as the mode of passion, sense gratification became infused within people's consciousness, therefore they'd have to purify themselves by sacrifice. And ultimately by sacrifice, then they could see the connection between Krishna and the demigods and their very existence, and therefore they became Krishna conscious, because by sacrifice the rains came. And in Dwarpa Yuga, when people became infused not only with passion but with ignorance also, therefore, temple worship was there, because people had to see the object of their worship. They couldn't believe that he was actually there, or he would just come by sacrifice, or they could meditate on him. And therefore, by such deity worship, they became purified by very elaborate deity worship, and sacrifice, ultimately sacrifice, their possessions for the deity worship. Therefore, rich people used to build big temples with their money, and people would come and offer whatever they could, like at the program when they had the Anakuta ceremony, and we have offerings. All the village people would come. Madhavendra Puri would have one Anakuta ceremony after another, and Gopal was worshipped by all of the people within Braj. All the surrounding villages would come and offer all their grains and ghee and everything they had to Gopal. Therefore, by doing so, Gopal revealed himself more and more, and they became more and more enthusiastic about doing sacrifice for Gopal. And therefore, as Prabhupada said, day and night they think about Gopal. In Kali Yuga, where the mode of ignorance is prominent, and the mode of passion is diminishing, is ignorance. Therefore, kalotadari kirtana. The only hope is the chanting. Because at the very beginning of Kali Yuga, we find Kali killing dharma, killing the bull. And if you haven't noticed, Kali hasn't stopped killing the bull and the cow. And therefore, there is no dharma in Kali Yuga, because it's being killed by the so-called leaders, who are all shudras or less than shudras, simply pretending to be leaders, but they're misleaders. Leader means someone who actually has vision and can lead people to the right place. Because after all, even the modern day leaders, they claim, elect me and I'll give you all happiness. But they're not leaders, they're cheaters. Because they themselves are following some other leader who's cheating them. Andaya tandera, upayamanaste pisha tantra, uru dhamibada. The blind, who are promising all kinds of prosperity and happiness and abundance, they're actually being misled by people who are actually devoid of any higher consciousness and therefore actually quite poor in consciousness. They may have all the paraphernalia for so-called opulence, some metal and plastic cars that run on all kinds of noxious fumes. They may have a so-called elaborate diet made of dead animals or other less desirable entities. And these are the so-called leaders, and people are misled because there are no Brahmins, people with vision. There are no Kshatriyas, there are no Brahmins. And therefore, the result is that people have no vision. They have no purpose in life. They have no direction where to go. And therefore, they simply are misled because they're less intelligent by cheaters who are promising happiness and never deliver it. But because not only their intelligence is taken away, even their memory is taken away. Everything. Tatas chanudinam dharma satvam socham dhamashama palena kaliya rajan nakshatena balam smriti. Day after day, as Kali Yuga goes on, then the direction is generally just downwards for people. Because when their intelligence is taken away, then all the other things are taken away along with it, such as bodily strength, memory, because that's one step down before intelligence is taken away, that smriti is also taken away. Dhyayato vishayam pumsam sangasteshu pajayate sangas sanjayate kama kama krodo pajayate krodad bhavati samoha samoha smriti vibramsat smriti bramsat buddhinasho buddhinashat panashati. So people are being presented with so-called knowledge, which is just ignorance. And the higher the level of education, the more they're involved in ignorance. Ignorance means simply dead matter without any consciousness behind it. They try to manipulate the material energy, but for what purpose? For destruction, as Krishna says. Etam drishtim avashtavya nashtatmano nabudaya pravanyaka kramana shayajagatohita. Following such conclusions and loss of themselves, the demoniac are engaged in horrible, unbeneficial work meant to destroy the world. So the class of people headed by Kamsa and his descendants, the little Hiranyakashipus today, they are promising freedom, happiness, etc., but without God, the kingdom of God without God. Of course, they promote so-called religions that don't believe in God. And even if they claim they believe in God, they don't follow his directions. They may be very nicely organized, but they don't believe in Dharma, therefore they're claiming that they're going to be saved, but actually they're killing religion in the form of the bull and the cow. They have no problem doing that because their intelligence is taken away. They can't remember that their memory has been taken away. They're an illusion. They think they know the truth, and no one else knows the truth. But they themselves don't even know who God is. And even if they know who God is, they don't follow his directions anyhow. And yet they claim to be religious. They claim you don't really have to follow God's commandments, he doesn't expect you to. He died on the cross or something, and therefore he knows all these sinful activities that you were going to commit in the future, and therefore he's already suffered for them, so you don't have to worry about it. So this is the philosophy of the demons. And these are the type of philosophies that the actual demons are very happy to hear about. People who are so-called religious, they're happy that these are the religious people because they're of the same mentality that they are, ultimately. Or at least they're in ignorance, and therefore they mislead their followers also. But before that, before illusion, there is anger. So the so-called revolutionaries who tell you how bad everything is and how everything is unfair and that you should actually take control of the universe because you're actually a good person because you're poor and stupid, therefore you must be a good person. They're simply trying to excite people's anger. For their own, because when people are angry, they become more stupid. They lose their intelligence, they're more an illusion. And they promote anger by promoting lust and greed. Give everyone a credit card, give everyone the pornography, give everyone free access to illicit sex, intoxication, animal slaughter, and gambling. Make them even more lusty and greedy, more foolish, ultimately, take away all their intelligence, so that even if they hear the truth, they can't understand it at all. And they actually think that the people who are enslaving them are actually the ones who are giving them freedom. And the people who are trying to free them are actually the ones who are trying to enslave them by putting them under the jurisdiction of rules and regulations in God. They can't see that they're actually being directed, impelled by their senses, which is driving them into more and more bondage, more and more misery. They can't see that. Just like in America, there's an opioid crisis. So why is there an opioid crisis? They have something called fentanyl. You've heard of fentanyl? It's like 1,000 times more addictive than heroin. And there are more people dying from that than practically anything else in America. But where is it coming from? It's being shipped in, at least from Mexico, and they're inviting the people who are shipping it in into America. Please come in, distribute these opioids, kill the people here, and you can take over because we don't need these people. We just want more ignorant people like you to take over. And yet people can't see it. They don't see the very leaders that are electing are the ones who are trying to get rid of them. Therefore, Krishna comes, he incarnates in the holy name. Because if Krishna came in all these other incarnations to kill the demons, as we know, there wouldn't be anyone left. Because there's nothing but demons. One degree or another. So therefore he incarnates as the holy name so that somehow or another people, even if they're not interested, they can become purified enough, eventually they'll get back some intelligence. Because above the intelligence is the spiritual platform, and when the spiritual energy is there, real intelligence is manifested again. One gets awakening of one's real knowledge. Otherwise, we can read all these books, we can listen to all these internet things, whatever it is, but they're all in ignorance, unless they're explaining about Krishna consciousness, or how to come under the spell of the internal energy rather than the external energy. So that's the real struggle, although luckily the demons, the asuras, don't take the Hare Krishna movement very seriously, because we're not doing anything so serious. Therefore, why should they take us seriously? we can, as the, when there was a big, at the, in the early 70s, no, actually, early, late 70s, when we had our acharyas and some of them were doing rather strange things. One of them was stockpiling guns and grenade launches in a certain area of America. And so the FBI was getting a little bit worried that maybe they're trying to take over America. That's when our movement was actually doing something more than it's doing now, at least in the Western world. And so they did an investigation to find out what are the Hare Krishnas up to, and the FBI reported that we have nothing to worry about from them. Because they're so spaced out, they're so untogether, they don't even know, they can't even answer their phone. So how are they going to take over America? Still, the Hare Krishna mantra is none different from Krishna, and at the proper time, Krishna will manifest himself. Manifest himself in the idea that there'll be devotees, if we're not, hopefully we're those devotees, whose hearts will become so filled with Krishna consciousness that wherever we go, we'll be bringing the spiritual world along with us. And that will actually change the universe, the materialistic society. When people come under the influence of the internal energy of Krishna, then they'll actually reawaken their own dormant Krishna consciousness to one degree or another, and people will realize what life is actually all about, what it's meant for, that it's actually meant for moksha, and for that you need dharma. So they'll take up the path of dharma, whoever they are. And therefore, economic development and sense gratification will be according to dharmic principles to lead to liberation. But that higher taste has to be distributed, and it's there in the holy name, but we have to experience it ourselves. In other words, unless we take it seriously, we won't be able to participate in the actual revolution to spread Krishna consciousness. Vichitta Tarashara Upigima Panamokshas Chotamana Upirama. That are coming into simple succession, and then there's another sloka. Those words which are glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's a those words which are, which are full of poetic significance but have no relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead are like places of pilgrimage for crows. The all saintly persons don't take any pleasure there because they're residents of the transcendental abode. In the next verse, those words which were meant to bring about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization, even though they may be imperfectly composed, are heard, chanted, and accepted by persons who are thoroughly honest. So we have to become honest, have to learn the path of honesty. Honesty doesn't mean that if you go to the store and they give you some extra money, return it. That's also kind of honesty. Honesty is that I'm not this body, I'm actually Krishna's servant, and I should actually serve Krishna. That's called honesty. That's real honesty. Everything else is just a partial lie, that's all. So we hear and we chant about the glories of Krishna, then eventually we'll accept who we actually are, and then Krishna will accept us. If we accept ourselves as we really are, then Krishna will accept us and reveal who he is and who we really are, because we're always intimately connected with Krishna. And therefore this hold that the demons have on us, because we've been trained up nicely by the demons, since we were born, we're the asuras, we're trying to kill Krishna, and if we look in our heart, they did a pretty good job killing the impetus to become Krishna conscious, but we're trying to revive it by the process given by our acharyas so that our heart can wake up again to reality. We can actually become an instrument for our own happiness and the happiness of others too. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
How to recognize these demoniac tendencies that are in us? Because some, they seem like quite common sense.
It's not a difficult thing. There's so many ways to recognize. Just sit down and chant a round of japa and write down what you're thinking when you're chanting. And if anything which is not to do with Krishna, that's part of our demoniac mentality. Just look around and see what you're thinking when you look at everyone. If you're in bliss, seeing everyone, seeing the super soul in everyone's heart and how beautiful everything is, then you're liberated. If not, there's some demoniac tendency. So many ways we can see. It's not the difficulty is trying to find our divine quality. Recognize that we're divine. That's more encouraging than trying to figure out how demoniac we are. Anything else? Well, Gurundaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.